4, Transcendental Knowledge, text 31. Nayam lokosti ayagyasya,
nayam lokosti ayagyasya,
utonya kuru sattama,
utonya kuru sattama,
nayam lokosti ayagyasya,
nayam lokosti ayagyasya,
utonya kuru sattama,
utonya kuru sattama.
Verse only 2 lines. And translation and O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? Or whatever form of material existence one is in, one is invariably ignorant of his real situation. In other words, existence in the material world is due to the multiple reactions to our sinful lives. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of one's dragging on material existence. The human form of life is the only loophole by which one may get out of this entanglement. So, this is transcendental knowledge. Most people are ignorant about the real situation in life. What is their situation? Why they are suffering? Yesterday I was talking to one lady and she was telling me about her problems and the sickness of her family members, and she was crying and I was trying, give her some relief, giving some Bhagavad Gita enlightenment Lord Krishna spoke. But most people, they still told me, it's difficult for me to keep my faith in God, seeing how much suffering is in this world, and I'm trying, to be a good person. Why God is giving me so many difficulties? And I explained to her, actually, God is not creating this problem for us. We are creating our own happiness, our own suffering by our own activities. Because God has given us free will. And through this free will, we do different things. And these different activities bring us happiness or suffering. So according to the Vedas, there are 3 types of pious activities. These are called Bhogommukhi Sukriti, Mokshammukhi Sukriti, and Bhaktimukhi Sukriti. Bhogommukhi Sukriti means pious activities that bring material happiness. What kind of activities are this? Well, helping the poor, the sick, opening hospital, opening school, opening road, opening well. Like that, helping charitable societies and so forth. Somebody who is very inclined to this type of work, this good work, materially speaking, pious. Next life, he may enjoy, be born in a very rich family, very nicely educated, very nice looking, very intelligent and all these things. But that's not the goal of life. Because even if somebody is born like that, in a very rich and nice family, still he has to undergo birth, old age, disease and death. So what is the benefit for the soul? Just to have a better material situation in this world. So only due to ignorance, people, they do bad things. Now that most people engage in simple activities than in good activities. And simple activities are meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. These four are the four pillars of sinful life. But modern civilization made such a way that if you get all these things in one place, that's paradise. That's Vegas. Everybody wants to know. That's paradise. You can get everything. Like once a preacher was preaching to one alcoholic, drunk. You continue like this, drinking like this, you will go to hell. And the drunk said, well, my father also drinks, is he also going to? Yes, he's also going to. My uncle also drinks, is he also going to? Yes. My barber also drinks, yes, he's also. So he named all his friends, family members, and they are all going to. Then hell is heaven. All my friends, family would be there. So ignorance is bliss. If you're ignorant, you're happy. You don't know. Like I was telling one person of the danger, you know, because he had a pet dog, you know, very attached to his dog. Be very careful, don't be too attached to your dog, because according to Bhagavad Gita, if you think at the time of death in your dog, you may get a dog body next time. I said, what is the problem with that? See, I have this, I bought a house in the beach to enjoy life. And then I have to go to work in the city. So the dog is enjoying all day the house. So dog's life is better than my life. It's a fact. They think I am the master of this dog, and they have to work to eat, feed him, and you know, dress him, and they have all kind of fashion of thing for the dog. Even 5-star hotel for the dogs, you know, for the rich, you know. They go on vacation, they leave the dog also. In Panama, they have a saloon for dog, and the haircut is cost more than. Human beings, you know. More hair to cut, of course. But I mean to say, people out of ignorance, they don't know what is the true, what is the purpose of life, why they're suffering. So unless we understand first our real situation in this world and how to get out of this, first we have to understand first thing that we are suffering in this world. Until somebody has said this first fact, how we can solve the problem. First, you have to accept the other problem. But if you are in denial, no, I'm okay, I'm happy, no problem. I have a nice car, a nice apartment, nice job, nice salary, beautiful wife, you know. I'm enjoying life, what's the problem? Good bank balance. Everything is okay. Then what about the old age, disease, and death? How can you prevent that? That's part of life. What can we do? Doesn't matter if I also suffer a little bit. You know, in South America they have a saying: "You suffer, but you also enjoy." Because this is the duality of the material life. You enjoy little, but you suffer more than you enjoy. Because you have to work all day, that's suffering, you don't like it, but in order to get the money to enjoy, you have to do it. So you only enjoy maybe 1 hour in front of the TV with some beer or something. And then up next day you have to do all day work to get only just a little, maybe weekend or some holiday you can, you know. But it's more the time you're working, you're suffering, than you're enjoying. And that's only for a few years, when the person is young, and after they get old, then, you know, the body gets, you know, in one direction, you know. There's no other direction, one direction. Everybody's going to the same place. No return, no way back. So, sometimes somebody may think an illusion, Well, who knows? Maybe with me I'm going to have to make an exception. This hope against hope, you know. Maybe with me there, because I'm a special person. Who knows? So that's the life, illusion. Illusion. Everybody's after some illusion. Oh, let me, you know, get this, that. You know. I would be happy if I get this thing, that thing. That girl, that boy. Life would be wonderful, everything would be very nice, you know. Like the Bollywood movies, you know, everybody's dancing. Going life, very young, very beautiful. They don't saw people in the hospital dying. So that's the illusion of this life. Purpose of life is to go back to God, to our divine origin. We have a divine origin. The soul is divine, is eternal, full of bliss of knowledge. Because we accepted this material body, we are prone to suffer miseries. So, in order to get out of this suffering, we have to get the spiritual body. Spiritual body is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. And the material body is temporary, full of ignorance, and miserable. These three things, all the contrary. So there is one story to teach us about the material life. There is one man that's in the Puranas, one man named Kailas. He was a good person, but very materialistic, very attached to material things. But he was becoming old, so he thought, oh, maybe I should surrender to God, to Krishna. Maybe I should do that. I'm becoming old now. So when the great sage Narada went to see Lord Krishna in the spiritual kingdom, he saw that Krishna was waiting for his friends to play with him. So Narada suggested to Krishna, Krishna, while you're waiting for your friends, will you like me to bring 100 souls from the material world to play with you? Krishna said, yeah, that's a great idea. But first bringing one man, Kailas, apparently he wants to come back to me. Bring him first, then bring the other 99. Narada said, yeah, immediately. So he went, he came to this earth planet and went to the house of this Kailas and told him, Kailas, you are so fortunate. The Lord said you can come with him right away, right now. Of course, meaning to come right away, he has to give his mortal body. The soul can go to God, the body can't. And the man said, yes, yes, I'm more than eager to go with the Lord. But there is one little thing I have to tell you. Yes, tell me. Well, before I go, there is one desire I would like to fulfill before I leave this world. And what is that? Well, I have a daughter and a son, and they are not married. I would like to see them married before I leave. Okay. How much time you need to do that? Oh, please give me a couple years, you know, to see to that. Okay, fine. So some or other, he, you know, arrangement for marriage, you know, for his children were done. And after 2 years, Narada came again. Okay, you know, you fulfilled your desire. Okay, let's go with Krishna. Don't let him make him wait long. But Kailas said, well, yes, yes, of course I want to go immediately with Krishna, but there is one more desire I need to satisfy. And what is that? Well, I would like to see my grandchildren before I leave. How much time you need for that? Well, at least give me, you know, a couple of years. All right, fine. We're very patient, Narada was waiting for him. And after 2 years, he came back, and Kailas was having a grandson and granddaughter, Nijni, playing, you know, with them, and laughing, and, you know, and all When he saw Narad Muni, his smile freezes. How you call somebody like, you know, spoiling the party? There's a name for that.
Crashing.
Huh? Crashing. Crashing party means you come in. Somebody that spoiled the party.
Marty Cooper.
Huh?
Marty Cooper.
Okay. In Spanish, we call him Agua Fiestas. Anyway, so, okay, Kailas, to fulfill your desire, let's go with Krishna. You have you marry your children, you also your grandchildren. Let's go. Of course, I want to go right away with you. But there is a little problem. I have to take care of. What is that? Well, my wife and my daughter-in-law, they fight too much. And sometimes they pull each other's hair and take the knife to kill each other to separate them, you know. Big trouble. Sometimes I'm worried they may kill each other. So let me build the house separate for my son and his wife, so they will not fight so much. And my own, I have here in my own, you know, property, I have a place, I can build a house for them. And how much time do you need for them? Well, I mean, give me 2 more years. Narad Muni told him, Kailas, this material world is very dangerous. One may die at any moment. You don't know what next life will be. Now this opportunity is being given to you. Don't waste it. Take advantage of it. Otherwise, who knows what next life will be for you? Huh? You don't know when are you gonna give your life. No. Kailas said, don't worry, Narada, I will be ready for you when you come back. Don't worry. Okay. So Narad Muni left and Kailas was building the house and everything. And just by finishing the house, he was playing with his dog and the courtyard, and he was throwing, you know, something to the dog, and he was bringing back, and they were playing and laughing, and, you know, fondling the dog and all these things. And suddenly he had a heart attack. And while dying, he was staring at the dog was staring at him, was crying, you know. And you know what happened, Bhagavad Gita says, jam jam bhavishmanam bhavam te jatyante kalimanam. According to your state of mind at the time of death, that will take you without doubt to your next life. So Kailas was born as a dog next time. In the same house, because he was so attached to that house, he was born in that same house. So when Narad Muni came back, he didn't see Kailas, he see the dog. 2 dogs, no one. But he knew this one is Kailas. So he told him, Kailas, see what happened to you. Wow. I told you not to take risk. Still, I'm going to be kind to you. Last chance. Let's go immediately right now. But give up this ugly dog body and let's go back to Krishna now immediately. And Kailas said, well, Narad Muni, tell you the truth. Yes, of course I want to go, like you know, but there is a problem. What is the problem? Well, my family went on vacation and they forgot to close the window, and a thief may come in and steal everything. I worked so hard for this house, and now let me take, you know, care of the house, you know, protect it from any thieves that may come, and after that we will go. Kailas, don't waste so much time. You already wasted so much time. Don't take more risk. And then Kailas became angry. He showed his teeth angrily at me. With so many souls around, you're only after me. But that's not the end of the story. Next life, Kailas was born as a snake. After he was a dog, he became a snake. Still, Narad Muni very compassionately was trying to help him. And he was preaching to him all the time, even as a snake. And finally, the teaching touched his heart because he was suffering, you know, a lot. So he decided to become devotee of the Lord. So Narada Muni instructed him how to meditate on Krishna and everything. Even in that body, obviously, or normally that doesn't happen, animals don't have this capacity. But there are some few exceptions to the rule. You know the story of Gajendra the elephant? Although he was in the body of an elephant, he was being attacked by a crocodile in the river, but he was in his previous life a devotee. He could remember his previous life at that moment. He could remember the mantras, the prayers that he offered the Lord, and he offered those prayers, and he was saved by the Lord himself. So there are some instances like that, so you will not be surprised that, you know, that there are some exceptions to the rule. So when Narada Muni came back to see his snake disciple, he saw him all hurt all over his body. So he was asking, why you hurt like that? Well, since I became Bhakta, I don't hurt anyone or bite anyone. So taking advantage of that, children always beat me up and throw stones at me. You know, I just tolerate, you know, like you taught me I have to be tolerant. And Narada Muni say tolerant, but not a fool. If they come to hurt you, you must show them your fangs and tongue and hiss at them. Try to frighten them. Of course, don't bite anyone. Just frighten them by showing your like that. So, externally only. So that means you have to be practical in life. But no hard feeling, no bad feeling toward any living entity. That he was externally showing like that to protect himself, but he didn't mean to harm anybody. So that's the situation, that's the condition of the devotee of the Lord. Just see, by hearing up repeatedly about Krishna, gradually one starts to become attached to the Lord. That's the purpose of human life. We're attached to so many material things, and that keeps us in this samsara, life after life. But if we learn the art how to become attached to the Lord, to Krishna, then all material attachment will diminish naturally, because we have something better to replace it. Nobody can give up something unless has something better, isn't it? That's natural. So, in regard to that, there is another story, a true story, of one thief. This thief's name was Chandravan. And one day, he was stealing one house, and after stealing from that house, he found some jewelry, something there. But immediately the police came, and they were chasing after him. He has to throw everything, you know. So they will. So while running from police, he lost everything. Everything he stole fell apart. And he could not do to get anything. So and he saw a temple. I said, oh, better I hide in this temple. So many people are there. They will not find me there. So he entered the temple, and there was one lecture. The speaker was speaking about Krishna, and he was explaining how Krishna was beautifully decorated with nice silk dhoti and nice garlands and very beautiful necklace made of gold and sapphire and diamonds. And so when the thief heard that, he became very interested. So after the lecture finished, he approached the lecturer and asked him, can you please tell me where Lord Krishna lives? You must be Krishna Bhakta. He lives in Vrindavan. Oh, thank you very much. So the man went to the train station to find out how far Vrindavan was. He was living in South India, so it was a little far away. So he found out how much was the ticket to go to there and everything. So he went to his wife and explained to her, well, I was trying to do some job today, but it didn't come out the way I wanted. I have to leave up everything. But I heard about very rich man called Krishna. He lives in Vrindavan. He has many valuable necklaces of pure gold. So I'm planning to go to steal from him. But I don't have the money. Can you please sell your golden earring I gave you the other day so I can get the ticket? Don't worry. When I come back, I will buy you 4 more earrings, 9 more beautiful earrings. Don't worry. Okay, the wife said, whatever. Take them. So he arrived in Vrindavan, and as soon as he arrived there, the first person he found out and walking in the street stopped him. Excuse me, sir, can I ask you, where can I find Lord Krishna at this time? Where can I find him? Ah, you don't know, he lives in Nandagram. And at this time, most probably he would be herding the cows with his friends. If you are fortunate, who knows? You may see. Since the man thought, I said, the devotee is searching for Krishna. So the man thought, oh, okay. So he went to Nandagram there and went to the forest and was searching in the forest to see if he found Krishna there. Of course, his intention was to steal from him. He was a thief. But his eagerness was growing up and growing up. His eagerness, his desire to see Krishna, to find Krishna, was so acute, so intense, like that of a lion who hasn't eaten for a week. Imagine how much hungry he must be. A lion could not eat for a week. He must be very hungry. So his anxiety to see Krishna was that intense. And because of that intensity, laulyam, hankering, strong hankering, one day he saw Krishna sitting on a rock under the shade of a tree with calves around him and cows. He approached Krishna and he saw the golden beautiful necklace. So his eyes was on the necklace. He said, dear Krishna, your father Nanda sent me here to ask you to give me this necklace because maybe some thieves around is dangerous. He asked me to take it back home. And Krishna said, well, I mean, if it was that dangerous, why they would have put it on me? No, yes, also your mother Yashoda told me to ask you to bring it. Some peace may be around here. Krishna said, well, no, I can't do that, you know. Maybe you are the thief. And Chandrabhanu smiled, well, to tell the truth, Krishna, yes, I am the thief. But you are so beautiful, so rich, I am so poor. Why you don't give me this necklace? And Krishna was smiling at him, saying, No, I can't do that. If I give it to you, I will be in trouble with Mother Yashoda. She will tell me what you know. How can I go back home without this valuable necklace? No, please, Krishna, like that. And Krishna was smiling at him. The man's heart melted completely by the beautiful smiles of Krishna, you know, his loving dealing with him. Immediately, his heart was conquered by Krishna's love, and he fell at the floor crying. And ask Krishna, I don't want anything. Please just allow me to be your devotee forever.
Hare Krishna.
So for whatever reason somebody approached the Lord, even for the wrong reason, he will end up well. Because God is the most pure. It's like the sun, you know. Anything you put under the sunshine becomes purified. Even the filthy place touched by the sunshine becomes purified. The same way, God is most pure. And everybody or anything that comes in touch with Him also becomes purified. And there are many stories like that. You will find in the scriptures. And Krishna is more eager than us that we will go back to him and be happy forever. But he doesn't interfere with our free will. He doesn't want to force us, because love must be voluntary. Imagine a crazy guy with a gun in his hand and telling a girl, "Do you love me or not?" "Yes, yes, of course, I love you very much." Not that kind of love. Krishna doesn't want that kind of love. Love must be voluntary. And of course, how can we love God unless we know more about him? We have to know God's personality, God's qualities, activities, form, beautiful form, so attractive. We have to hear from the scriptures, from the devotees about the Lord. That's very important. It's very most important activity. In the Shastra it is said, Satam prasangam mamabiriya samvino bhavanti ritkana rasayana kata tanjushanat asha pavarga vartmani shradharatir bhaktira nukramishyati. That by hearing the activities of the Lord with his devotees, and the association of the devotees, the heart and the ear are pleased. It's pleasing to the heart and to the ear. And our material suffering diminish. And our faith, our attachment, and our love for Krishna step by step grow more and more. That's the purpose of devoted association. Of course, when we chant Hare Krishna, yes, we should immediately remember, no? Krishna is not different from his name, like the devotee was explaining. But we should not chant with the idea that I will enjoy. We should chant with the idea that Krishna will be pleased. He will enjoy. And if he is pleased, naturally also will be pleased. If you stand in front of a mirror and you put a necklace on yourself in front of the mirror, the reflection of the mirror also will have a necklace. So we are a small particle of the Lord. If we please the Lord, that will reflect in us automatically. It's the example, simple example, the hand. No? The hand functions to serve the body, the rest of the body. Mainly by taking the food to the stomach, feeding the stomach. But suppose the hand becomes mad and instead of taking the food to the mouth, wants to put it in the ear. You become dumb, you know? Deep. So the danger. Or suppose the hand wants to eat itself the food without taking it to the stomach. No matter how many times the hand squeezes the food and turn it around, it will not be satisfied. Because the function of the hand is to serve the stomach. And then when the stomach is fed, all the hand and all the body is nurtured, is pleased. So God is like the stomach. We are the small parts. Unless we are serving the all, the part can be satisfied. So that's the secret of happiness and peace. To be in touch with the All, with the Supreme. And the best way to do that is Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. Which is started just by simple and sublime process of chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Any doubts? Semi-doubts also are okay. Okay. Yes?
I have a short joke actually related to the, what you were saying, the four ranks, how it's suffering.
Yeah.
So this one man, this doctor, he was traveling through this town and he saw this very old lady. And she had a cigarette in one hand and Siddhar on the other hand. He asked her, how are you, you live so long? And what's your lifestyle? He said, well, I smoke cigarettes and I do everything. I basically break all the four regular principles. He said, my God, you live so long? Yes, I'm 34 years old.
34. People don't know what is good for them. That's a fact. Like one lady once asked me, she asked me about our principles. I told them we are vegetarians, you know. We don't eat fish or egg or meat. She said, then what do you eat then? Well, everything else. There are more varieties in the kingdom of vegetables than the other. People, even if they approach God, they don't know what to ask God. You know? This is one story, one old lady, you know, she lived in the hills. She had huts there. And every day she has to carry a bundle of firewood, you know, to cook or to warm herself. Every day she has to carry all the weight up to the hill. So one day while she was carrying her bag, this bundle of firewood slipped from her back and fell all the way. She almost was reaching the hut. She started crying, you know, and I'm very tired to go down there again. God, please help me, God. And she cried so much that God spoke to her. Yes, my daughter, what can I do for you? And she said, oh, can you please help me carry the bundle to the She could have asked, you know, give me eternal life, you know, take me to your kingdom or something. So most people don't know what to ask. Thank you very much, La Prabhupada. Thank you.